This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Beth Voorhees. It's 7:33. The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency proposed new carbon emission rules yesterday that aim to cut carbon dioxide releases from coal-fired power plants. The overall national target is a reduction of 30% by the year 2030 compared to 2005 levels. State officials say they're still working to understand what the 600-plus-page document really means for West Virginia. But for now, many are claiming the bad outweighs the good, and as Ashton Mara reports, are pledging to do everything they can to stop it.
What state officials do understand about these draft regulations so far is that they're different than anything the EPA has proposed in the past. In September, the agency released a proposal to reduce carbon emissions from newly constructed power plants. Yesterday's proposal, however, doesn't focus on the individual facility. Instead, it sets carbon dioxide standards for the state as a whole.
What EPA is saying is that by 2030, overall, West Virginia's total CO2 emission rate, which is pounds of CO2 per kilowatt hour that we generate, has to be 1,620 or less.
That's West Virginia Department of Environmental Protection Secretary Randy Huffman. He explains to meet the EPA's new standard, West Virginia would have to reduce its CO2 emissions by 15%. That's compared to 2012 measurements, the latest available. But how states meet their individual reduction standard is up to them. The rules are flexible and give states a combination of options to reduce their emissions, but essentially force them to diversify their energy sources. Huffman says there are some efficiencies to be found within coal-fired power plants themselves, but not enough to meet the reduction standard.
Knowing how much energy we produce by coal, knowing what the coal CO2 numbers are now, it's going to require a significant reduction in combustion of coal and a replacement of that by some other energy source.
According to the U.S. Department of Energy's Energy Information Administration, over 95% of the energy produced in West Virginia comes from coal, and the state typically produces more energy than it consumes, meaning coal is helping to keep the lights on in other states. But those states will soon also have to rely on other energy sources. An option is to switch from coal to natural gas, an industry that happens to rapidly be growing in the northern panhandle and north central portions of the state. But Huffman says just switching to natural gas won't do enough. West Virginia will have to go even further to reduce its emissions under the new rule. Other options set out in the EPA's plan include things like energy efficiency, investing in renewable energy, and making power plant upgrades. But it can also include offering discounts to consumers in exchange for shifting their energy consumption to off-peak hours. In an interview with West Virginia Public Broadcasting, Senator Jay Rockefeller said West Virginia needs to start investing in clean coal technology to ensure the resource will be used into the future. He says combining clean coal with natural gas, solar, wind, and hydroelectric power is the only way to ensure we have enough electricity to meet our needs in the future while working to protect our environment.
West Virginia has been in a decades-long process of trying to pretend that that isn't true. And millions and millions of dollars have been spent telling West Virginians that it isn't true, that coal is fine just the way it is, just the way we've always done it. And the truth, honestly, is that that's not true. It's not clean enough. And it is, accelerating our environmental problems.
Rockefeller said in a press release he also supports the safeguards the EPA's draft rules provide for public health, reducing the risk of asthma, other lung diseases, and heart attacks. Governor Tomlin, however, was less keen on the rules, speaking against them at a press conference at the Capitol.
We appreciate that the EPA is giving our state some flexibility to design an implementation plan. But based on the briefings that we've had, these proposals appear to realize some of our worst fears. The bottom line is the only way to comply with these rules would be to use less West Virginia coal.
Tomlin says his administration will do everything they can to block the rules, but will continue working with EPA Administrator Gina McCarthy to mitigate the impacts he says communities in West Virginia will feel as a result. Attorney General Patrick Morrissey says his office is looking at the legalities of the rules. He believes it is an overreach of federal power to dictate a state's overall emission rate. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Ashton Mara in Charleston.
The United Mine Workers of America is joining the coal industry in a rare occasion to oppose these regulations. The industry worries the regulations will financially cripple coal's economy, as well as West Virginia and everyone dependent on a coal job. Jessica Lilly reports.
With 95% of the energy produced in West Virginia coming from coal-fired power plants, many within the industry feel the state will be the hardest hit by the new proposal. Roger Horton, a retired miner from Logan County, paints a grim picture already evolving in coal country. He sees an EPA ignoring its economic impact on countless coal mining families.
The uncertainty now that is created by these new rigs is going to make even more people apprehensive about being able to keep their homes. And I'm sure that there are going to be more who lose their jobs and have to relocate. And that's just absolutely, absolutely wrong.
President of the West Virginia Coal Association, Bill Rainey, told reporters during a press conference that the regulations punish our people and show no respect for our state.
Every time we lose a coal miner's job in this state, we lose a piece of West Virginia because we lose payroll, taxes, hospitalization, and contributions to the miner's retirement and health benefit funds.
And that also worries United Mine Workers of America President Cecil Roberts, who told reporters that 94,000 people depend on health and retirement funds from the coal industry. The union, often at odds with the industry, is joining in the fight opposing the regulations.
Make no mistake about this. Without a coal industry, there is no one for me to bargain with to extract those kinds of benefits from.
It's no surprise that coal jobs are disappearing. It's a trend that the state's been facing for years. Since 2012, thousands of West Virginia coal miners have lost their jobs. Some of them are finding relief through federal dollars that pay for training or school to start a new career. Even without EPA regulations, reports indicate that coal jobs would decline anyway. It's a finite resource. The coal seams are depleting, and energy competitor natural gas is booming. When introducing the regulations, EPA Administrator Gina McCarthy said American can lead this fight, but industry and the UMWA worry no one will follow.
I heard a pastor on Easter Sunday morning say this. He said, if you're a leader and nobody's following you, you're just going for a walk. The United States is going for a walk on this one because nobody's going to follow us. Thank you.
Other reports indicate that China has begun regional experiments with a more market-friendly approach pioneered in the U.S. The language might sound familiar. They're looking at putting a cap on total emissions of sulfur dioxide from power plants, allocating tradable pollution permits to individual polluters. West Virginia has already started experimenting with ways to reduce carbon emissions with carbon capture and other technologies. President and Chief Operating Officer for Appalachian Power, Charles Patton, says AEP, the largest coal burner in the Western Hemisphere, has reduced its carbon footprint by about 21% since 2005. And right now, that's not cheap.
In doing that, we have spent across the AEP fleet somewhere north of $10 billion. And so what we see is a carbon footprint that is shrinking. We see a industry that has invested billions of dollars, and we see customers, as a result of those investments, who have seen their electric bills increase 50% over a very short period of time.
Appalachian Power serves about a million customers across West Virginia, Virginia, and Tennessee. The new regulations give flexibility to the states, and Patton says he plans to work with governors in both Virginia and West Virginia.
Is to make sure that we move forward smartly in a manner that preserves jobs in West Virginia and that makes sure that electric rates are protected, because our consumers here in the state have already seen significant rate increases resulting from EPA rules.
The EPA is the target of bipartisan wrath. West Virginia's congressional delegation is a mix of Democrats and Republicans, and all but Senator Rockefeller have sharply criticized the proposed regulations. While lawmakers have talked about it in the past, there was no talk of diversifying the economy on the day the EPA released the proposed regulations. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Jessica Lilly in Athens.
More about this story just ahead. This is West Virginia Morning. It's 7:43. Rain and thunderstorms in our forecast today. Temperatures in the 70s and 80s. That chance of rain and thunderstorms continues overnight with lows in the 50s and 60s. Partly cloudy on Wednesday. Still a chance of rain and thunderstorms. Some of these storms could produce damaging winds and heavy rain. Temperatures tomorrow in the 70s and 80s. Rain and thunderstorms likely on Thursday.
Support for West Virginia Public Radio is provided by the West Virginia Division of Rehabilitation Services, enabling and empowering workers with disabilities to meet business workforce needs. Visit wvdrs.org for employer services.
As you've heard this morning, the Environmental Protection Agency's proposed regulations to reduce carbon emissions by 2030 have had lawmakers and industry representatives alike up in arms, calling them job-killing. There are some stakeholders, however, who are quick to disagree with that assessment. As Beneduccio reports, they instead call the regulations good for West Virginia and good for the nation.
James Van Nostrand with the West Virginia University Center for Energy and Sustainable Development has been anticipating the EPA's announcement for weeks. He says regulators knew what was coming and in recent years have actually reduced emissions.
The 30% figure, it sounds like a lot, but when you consider the fact that nationwide CO2 emissions are down 15% from 2005 right now, they're expected to go down another 5 to 7%. Between now and 2020. So we're already going to be at in excess of 20% reductions by 2020. And then basically the EPA rules allow a 10-year period between 2020 and 2029 to get to the 30%. So it sounds like a lot, but using 2005 as a baseline, which captures all the emissions reductions that have already happened, the 30% figure is not as draconian as it sounds. At the same time, it will have greater impacts on our region of the country.
But the standards released yesterday are asking for more, although not all interested parties think that's necessarily a bad thing. Take, for instance, Evan Hansen, founder of the environmental consulting group Downstream Strategies, based in Morgantown.
I think that they're finally providing some clarity as to what we need to do here in West Virginia to reduce carbon dioxide pollution from coal-fired power plants. The most important thing is that they finally stated what the goals are going to be for the state of West Virginia, and they made it clear what the flexibility is going to be.
Hansen points out these proposals don't paint every single stroke with the same brush. States with the largest number of coal-fired power plants are being allowed to emit the most carbon dioxide under these proposals. Hansen says this essentially makes the playing field more even for everyone.
There are many coal-fired power plants across the state of West Virginia, many of which are old. Some of the power plants have implemented emissions reduction technology over the last decades, but those emission reduction technologies that were installed do not address carbon dioxide. They address other things like sulfur and nitrogen emissions. So part of what this new rule will do in combination with other rules that impact power plants is it will force the utilities to make decisions about which power plants are worth keeping open and which ones might need to be shut down.
Instead of shutting them down altogether, Hansen says the flexibility within the new regulations allows states to pick and choose, making sacrifices where they can to reduce emissions to compensate for areas where they can't. But Hansen says that's not necessarily a bad thing.
I think this is really an opportunity for West Virginia to modernize and diversify its electric generating fleet. And this is a real watershed moment where our political leaders need to be looking forward rather than looking backward.
But James Van Nostrand says even with the flexibility, it won't be an easy process for West Virginia. He says the state is already behind many others and needs to start catching up when it comes to regulating industry.
And the big takeaway from this rule is the energy regulators need to start talking to the air regulators. In other words, the DEP in West Virginia is going to be charged with coming up with a state implementation plan. The goal should be, how can we comply with these rules at the lowest cost that is least disruptive to the West Virginia economy? One of the lowest cost compliance options involves utilities offering energy efficiency programs. It may involve utilities ramping up renewable energy and including that in their portfolio. But it all needs to be part of the state implementation plan. And so you've got the PSC, which regulates the utilities and decides how much utilities are going to invest in renewable energy and fuel switching to natural gas and energy efficiency programs. And it has to be coordinated with the Department of Environmental Protection so that those measures are included as part of the state implementation plan, because the goal is to develop a strategy that's going to give us achieve compliance at the lowest possible cost so that we can minimize the disruption to the economy.
The proposals will be discussed at four public hearings. These will be held on the week of July 28th in Atlanta, Denver, Washington, D.C., and Pittsburgh. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Beneduccio in Morgantown.
West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. Keep up with all the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. We're interested in your comments. You can send them to feedback@wvpublic.org. Follow us on Twitter at @WVPublicNews and find us on Facebook. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. Our producer is Beneduccio. Our director is Teresa Wills. I'm Beth Voorhees.